That third Saturday in October involving two of our border states.
Yeah. Talk dirty to me. Talk dirty to me, man.
I guess the Seattle Seahawks are taking applications for cornerbacks, if that's what you're...
And apparently right tackles.
Right tackle, yep.
It's Stone Forsythe.
Stone Forsythe,
who's filling in.
Out.
What a great name.
Stone Forsythe is filling in for, like, Abe Lucas. Yep. Or no, George Fant, who's filling in for, like, Abe Lucas. So maybe that'll lead to a sack, Rob.
maybe
a sack full. Maybe it'll be a Crystals party at the Benz on Sunday.
That mini buy didn't do much for them, though, you know, I guess, apparently. That's football, gentlemen. Man, what a weekend. They've got Porch Fest tomorrow in Oakhurst.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring it up because I saw that it was coming, and I was like, I'm going to ask Rob about it.
Is that the thing you talked about last year where your mother-in-law took the kids, Mike?
Yes.
Where you walk around and people have parties on their porch?
Yep.
It's like 125 bands throughout the whole neighborhood.
I got the number, man. It's more than that. It's more than that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I was reading it, and I thought, okay, Rob's going to be here Friday. I can't wait to throw this at him in fair foul. But it's like 160-something.
Yep.
160-something. It's crazy, man.
A buddy of mine from MGA, my buddy Dylan, was telling me that they tried to get Corey Smith to play their wedding. And, you know, Corey Smith, the old guy at UGA.
Yeah.
And it was like this astronomical number. So then they tried to get Yacht Rock to play his wedding.
I bet that's probably even more.
It was less, but it was like only 30,000 less, and it was still about 30,000 too much.
Yeah. Yep.
So they got like the Yacht Rock
review,
which is like the fill in, like the and
it's
he's
like Diet Rock, Yacht Rock.
Yeah. And then he told me, he was like, dude, the number was so, he's like, it was something we could do. He goes, but we got lucky because the regular Yacht Rock, like half the members were like, they were just had nothing to do. And so they filled in with review. And so we got like half of Yacht Rock for the Yacht Rock review price for our wedding.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, that's a pretty cool. I just triggered because all these bands that are going to be playing this weekend.
And one of the Yacht Rock guys, lead singer, lives over there in Oakhurst.
Oh, so he'll probably be doing something, right?
I don't know.
Corey Smith was our first dance at my wedding.
That's an interesting tidbit.
It was her choice, man. She liked the song, and of course, the song is called First Dance. So she was like, "This is slam dunk."
Ours was a U2 song.
It's amazing when a cover band can sell out Chastain Park like a
dude. I've been there. Everybody rolls up with their tablecloths and their cheese trays and their wine and their flower centerpieces.
A lot of artists hate that about Chastain with the eating and the wine. They would rather be more like a mosh pit.
It's a vibe. It's definitely a vibe up there at Chastain.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not a big Yacht Rock guy, but when I went, I was invited, me and my wife were invited to go hang out there and watch them one night, and I was blown away by the scene of everybody just, like, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, people are sitting around a table having a beer. I mean, it was straight up tablecloths. Like, I couldn't believe what I was looking at, man.
Yeah, it's a different crowd.
Bunch of divorced 40-year-old women on the crowd.
That too.
Not that at Willie Nelson when I saw him at Chastain.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Well, we're burying the lead. Me and Bo are going to a concert tonight at Ameris up in Alpharetta.
Who's playing tonight?
We're going to Whiskey Myers.
Oh, I've heard of Whiskey Myers.
Yeah. You would like Whiskey Myers. It's a southern rock kind of feel.
They have a rock and roll overtones to country is what you're saying.
You know, know where I discovered Whiskey Myers? Not discovered. You know where I first heard Whiskey Myers that made me kind of look them up and realize how much I knew their songs was they were on Yellowstone.
Blackberry Smoke are a lot.
Yellowstone
that's
a lot.
Man.
Yeah, I'm a big Blackberry Smoke guy, and that's how actually Mike turned me on to Whiskey Myers because I said I like Blackberry Smoke, and he goes, "You'll love Whiskey Myers. I've never heard of him." He goes, "Here," and then
good stuff.
Yeah, and it is. You go back and rewatch Yellowstone after you've heard.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
That's one of the things that I was watching Yellowstone. I was like, "Hey, I know that. That's Blackberry Smoke." And then I went back, and after I had discovered Whiskey Myers, you know, they have always do the every holiday, the Paramount Channel does like Yellowstone.
Yep.
Just marathons. And then I heard, to your point, Whiskey Myers.
Mm-hmm. There it is, man. But you're right, Rob. A packed weekend. Don't forget, and I know people just heard it on the commercial, I'll be at Dudley's in Lithonia tomorrow night, 5-7. I'll be watching the Bama game.
Not you venturing over to DeKalb County.
Yeah, man, I just spread my wings. I'm just flapping them, getting over there. But like I said, I'll be watching the Alabama-Tennessee game, and I'll be pre-gaming for the Georgia-Texas game. So I'll be over there from 5-7. That'll be a lot of fun. Dos Equis tailgate party. Get it hooked up, man. Come see
me. I haven't
heard
of that place, Dudley's, over there. I guess that's a pretty good
spot. I've never been. I've been promised that it's a good time. I've never been, but I've been promised that it's a good time.
Well, you make it a good time is what
but that's what I'm bringing all the vibes. And I will have my crimson on and maybe a cigar in the car. I don't know. I don't want to promise anything.
Well, Falcons have a chance to, what, three-game winning streak for the first time since 2019.
And that was one. That was kind of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was somewhat meaningless
four, my
one.
Bad, four, my bad, four, yep, foe.
That was a meaningless one at the end of the season.
Yep.
And this one, I mean, you know, if you don't take care of business throughout the rest of the season, people will say it was meaningless as well. But, dude, it's been fun. It's been very cardiac kid-like until last week.
Yeah. Finally, a relaxing, more leisurely victory for the Falcons, certainly. But, man, more importantly, though, the demise of the Saints. Who was that pundit this week that says?
Tim Hasselbeck.
Yeah, New Orleans, the best team in the NFC South.
Yeah, once they get through the injuries, they're going to come back and prove that. No, I think they're a Super Bowl-type team. And I'm like, I hate to break it to you, but it's getting worse for them.
Well, you know what's funny about that is I actually respect him for throwing that opinion out. I completely disagree with it. I think he's lost his freaking mind. But nonetheless, at least he's throwing it out there and like
you respect people that announce to the world that they're idiots. Is that what you're saying?
I respect people that announce to the world and speak their truth. Because I think you and I can both, all three of us can both confirm that some people think we're idiots for what we say too.
You know, I've always heard that phrase, my truth. There's only one truth. that's an opinion.
This goes back to when you're telling a story. There's three versions, right? It's your version, my version, and the actual truth. I just think that his version is that the Saints are one of the best teams in NFC South when healthy. My question to him would be, when are they going to be healthy? Well, because there's so many injuries at this point you can't even count.
I think honestly, Tampa Bay, you could probably say.
I think Tampa Bay is right now as currently constituted
is when healthy.
Yep.
On paper, I would put them over New Orleans all day long. I think they have a better quarterback. I think they have better receivers.
To your point, he said Tampa and New Orleans are the best teams in the division.
But he said overall he went with New Orleans.
I don't think so. I think he just said Tampa and New Orleans are the best teams in the division.
Understanding was he just said
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah. We'll have to run it back. Because I remember thinking the same thing you did, and I go, okay, well, he covered his butt by saying Tampa too.
But I also think on paper we look pretty damn good healthy.
Yeah, I agree. Can we talk about that for a minute? Because we talk so much about guys playing in preseason and keeping guys healthy. And you have to give Raheem credit right now. Whatever he's doing, knock on wood, seems to be working because we have had some good luck in that department.
Well, but we've never been healthy. We haven't been healthy all year because we started the season with
anybody.
I was good. That was my next question. Nobody's healthy.
You started this. You literally came into week one with Nate Landman being questionable for game one.
Right.
And he played through some injury and not the entire game. And then he was out. And last week was the first week you had him. And then you had Troy Anderson down for the last 2 weeks. So to me, the moment you get if you can get Nate Landman and Troy Anderson on the field at the same time with Caden Ellis, I think then it unlocks some of the things you want to do in the pass rush attack with Caden Ellis.
I completely agree. But here's what I'll say. I mean, we go into Pittsburgh week one. They had just lost their center for the year. They had just they lost a couple. Who's like we've had some luck in that department. And I'm trying to give credit to Raheem Morris and company because I think that is something that they've been doing. I mean, I'm looking at the injury report the last couple of days. Bijan doesn't really, he's not a full participant in practice, and he needs some rest.
But when guys get banged up, it's important, right? How 100%. Important is a coach to take it when if a guy's not feeling 100% or maybe even you know that the guy was a little taxed at the end of the game, say, we're going to give you Thursday off or Wednesday off.
It not only is it important, but I think it speaks to what they see in Bijan and his work ethic. Because I think if you know that a guy is not going to give you 110 when they're actually practicing, it becomes harder to give them a day off, right? Because you're like, yeah, you know, if you're only going to give me 75% on days you are suited up, then I'm not going to give you the day before that off because I know you need that work. But I think they think Bijan works hard enough, and obviously Raheem sees something. He's comfortable saying, hey, let's take this one down.
I think you can see that in the way he blocks.
Oh, dude,
it takes a lot of pride in blocking.
Don't even get me started, man. Don't even get me started in here. Him and Drake London both, I cannot tell you how impressed I have been with both of them blocking. It has been unbelievable. Some guys tend to opt out a little bit. Some guys make business decisions. Those two guys right there, those are like extra offensive linemen. It's beautiful.
All right, come back. More on the Falcons. Seattle, of course, all banged up in spite of their mini-bye. Falcons looking for their first four-game winning streak since 2019. And not to mention, a banner day of college football. The hype surrounding that particular get-together in Austin is off the charts, and I'm all here for it. I just got to stay sober tomorrow so I can enjoy the game and comprehend it.
Sports
Fest. I'd like to be able to remember the game as I'm watching it. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, one of the proud sponsors of the 6 o'clock hour, the Morning Shift. Welcome back on this Friday. Massive, massive, massive weekend coming up, of course, tomorrow night in Austin, Georgia. An underdog for the first time in 50 games. We're going to get into all of that. Georgia Tech hosting Notre Dame. Haynes King status unclear. I don't think he's going to play, but.
Did you see that phone call for his radio show yesterday? They were asking Brent Key, one of the students, was stood up and was like, "Hey, is Haynes King going to play tomorrow?" And he goes, "Well, no, he's not, unfortunately, because tomorrow's Friday." Like, everybody's hanging on his every word. Like, Brent's like, "No, unfortunately, he's not. But tomorrow's Friday, so no, he will not be playing." And I'm like, "Oh!"
Brent Key's kind of a different dude in a way. Kind of that,
he has that
George O'Leary intensity about him, too, and just kind of a different way of thinking, different way of interacting with the media.
He dropped the Metallica stuff.
Mm, he did.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Metallica guy.
He's a Metallica guy, and he was like, they asked him about Mercedes-Benz, and in his presser, I think it was Monday, and he was like, "Yeah," he's like, obviously it's a great venue. He dropped a few lines. He's like, "They have a big concert coming in June." And then he goes, "Darkness imprisoning me, all that I see, absolute horror." And he just kept going. And he obviously he's quoting from one, which is funny.
He's wonderfully weird, I think.
Yeah, well, it's an offensive lineman,
yeah,
right? So we know there's a little bit of weirdness there already. Hey, Mike. But it's a quirkiness, but it's like he's kind of guy that keeps you on your toes because
you don't know what he's going to say next, actually.
And you don't know when it's like real, like you being kind of like
right,
coming at you, or is he messing with you? And I would say it's fair to say that most of the time it's kind of like a jokingness, but there's going to be a moment when he's not, and it's going to bite someone because they're going to push too far, and he's going to be like,
"Ball.
Nah.
Man. He knows the deal. Run the ball.
Run.
He knows the feels."
Dude, how much reading your feels last week watching?
Watching Bama, South Carolina?
Watching Falcons running the ball.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying, like, because I was in a panic mode because of Bama, South Carolina. Watching the Falcons run the ball, it's a beautiful thing. There was just a couple of, when we touched on it yesterday a little bit, day before, there's just a couple of small, intricate details that are just starting to grow. You know what I mean? So some of the run game schemes are starting to grow roots, and when that happens, and you know that you can be successful with one thing.
Oh, I thought you meant something trending in a bad direction.
No.
I was like, what?
No. I mean, like, you know, you plant the seed on something, you run, whatever, And then when that works, you're like, well, you know, we could do this with a lead blocker. Well, we could do this with a counter. Well, you know what? Let's add in a, you know, a motion to this. And then all of a sudden, there's five different branches coming off that tree, Rob. And then all of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh.
Dude.
Uh-oh, watch out.
He could barely sit down when he was talking about inside zone and mid zone.
Taking his shirt off and just getting hyper turned on.
I was afraid we were going to have an HR meeting afterwards. But
Sandy walked in here afterwards. She goes, "Why are the windows foggy? Like, I've been breathing heavy. Sorry."
I'm going to tell you something. This could be the shortest game in NFL history if both teams came in and tried to do what both defenses have problems stopping.
Yeah.
And that is the run
Seattle's
game.
Seattle's, what, 26 and, what, 140
They're
yards a game?
27th, allowing 144.
Yep.
And you're like 20, I think we're 25th.
Yep. Yeah.
Allowing 142.
Well, let me give you the stat, though, that kind of puts a halt to that. The shortest game, the Seahawks have the highest drop back rate in the NFL. And Geno Smith leading the league, obviously, then in dropbacks per game at 46.2. 46.2 dropbacks per game. I said, as a lineman, a lot of times when you get into a game like Kirk had against the Bucks, where he's throwing the ball 58 times, actually had like over 60 dropbacks because a couple of sacks, that's like a nightmare game plan for some linemen. You do not want to be like, you do not want to pass block that many times. I can't even imagine living in a scheme where that's you know what you're dealing with, 50, you know, throwing the ball 50 plus times like Geno Smith does.
Well,
you're just living in it.
He only has 44 more attempts in the same amount of games than Kirk Cousins.
Well, it's like you want to throw when you have to, when you want to, not when you have to.
Exactly. Well, and not only that, I mean, I think that there's a, you know, and we talk about take what the defense gives you and check down when you need to and kind of read what's in front of you. But to your point, when you can run the ball effectively on first and second, and then it alleviates a lot of the stress in the passing game on those downs where you want to throw it. So it just, it all kind of coincides where it's not like a, you know, you're not running a 15-yard comeback along the sideline on third down. Maybe it's just a check down. The back just needs to get 4 or 5 yards. I mean, it just is what it is.
That's been the beauty of the Falcons' offense. To your point, Rob, is that you've been able to kind of do whatever's been effective in that game. Like, you haven't been in moments where you have to throw constantly or run. You know, I think against Tampa Bay, they did a good job of taking away the run, but you were able to throw it effectively. Last week, I think Kirk was a little off early in that game. I don't think there was something that felt off. Like, I don't know if it was the chemistry or maybe he wasn't, or is there something the defense was doing that.
Just that intangible human element, too, where things are just off for whatever reason.
Yeah. And so you were able to go, well, I've got 7 and I've got 25 and I've got a good offensive line for run blocking. Let's let the run game eat. And it ate a lot. And it was to the tune of 200 yards, which is really good.
Buffet, son.
And that, the greatest thing in the thing that no one is talking about Sunday's game against the Panthers was it was 28-20. They're starting to run the ball. They decide to throw. AJ makes a pick. And you literally just start handing the ball off. And you threw the ball 2 times in a game-sealing drive in that 4-minute offense, if you want to, so to speak, with like 12 minutes to go. And you ran the – I think you got the clock down to like 5 or 6 minutes on that drive, and you scored a touchdown, and you primarily did it on the run game, on the ground.
And not only that, to me, when you look at the ground game, and I don't want to get steamy in here again. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds.
Here we go.
But it's the progression of the ground game that makes you so excited. When you go to the game, it's wide zone, wide zone, wide zone. Like a mid-zone wrap kind of play that we talked about where Charlie Warner's leading up through the hole. And then the counter play later in the game off of that where all of a sudden you're taking mid-zone footwork and then you're countering back and getting the handoff on the opposite side of the quarterback. It just seems like to me, and you had the passing explosion 2 weeks ago against Tampa. Yeah, the run game exploded last week. It just seems like there's a progression now to where you can start to see a little bit of a pattern start to develop. And hopefully they can continue that this weekend, Rob.
Well, Chuba Hubbard was just running at will against, and they had, what, 2 backup offensive linemen, and they're running, and all of a sudden they get cute and decide to throw the ball, and that's when AJ Terrell picks it off. It's like, what do you do? Why do they do that?
I said it to Goforth in the office. I said, Goforth, one of these teams is about to throw the ball, and they will have messed up.
And that offensive line is still decent. They went added a lot of pieces, and I'm talking about the Carolinas. Look, when you have backups, though, in there in an offensive line, there's nothing that fits it better than a good running back like Chuba Hubbard, where you can lean because it's an ultimate equalizer. To me, though, a key for Sunday for the Falcons is if they can effectively run the ball and keep and make possessions expand a little bit, right? Maybe have a 10 to 12 play drive that takes 6 to 7 minutes of game time off the game clock off the off the board, score a touchdown, and then turn around and are able to force Seattle in a 3 or maybe 6 and out and get the ball back and start leaning again, because what you're doing is you're wearing the defense down, you're keeping their offense out of rhythm, and you're also forcing their hand to throw at that point if you can put points on the board. And maybe now you can come after the fourth right tackle they might have in the game.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see what exactly our secondary's plan is. I know we've talked about it a ton with the cover three and everything else, and we run it at a pretty good clip, top five in the league in terms of the amount of cover three we run. But I'll tell you this about Geno Smith, and this has me scratching my head, kind of still asking questions, and I've tried to kind of zero in when you watch film. First of all, we talked about it yesterday. Bo and I talked about it this morning. 11 targets for DK Metcalf last week with 3 catches. I mean, that's crazy. But then I went deeper in the numbers about some of Geno's numbers. We mentioned 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's yet to have a game this year. He leads the league in dropback rate and the amount of passes he's throwing. He's yet to have a game with multiple touchdown passes. Like, he's only got one.
How about the fact the Falcons have been pretty good, except, say, last game against Mike Evans. They've been good about dealing, neutralizing as such a big physical receiver. They can apply that knowledge to going up against the DK Metcalf. I
mean, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Walk up. And Raheem talked about A.J. Terrell matching up with DK and how he's looking forward to that. And A.J. kind of...
because he's used to Mike Evans.
Right, exactly. And DK obviously is his own beast, and everybody kind of sees the film last week, Rob, of him grabbing the headset, talking to the offensive coordinator and everything else going on. It doesn't sound like the relationship between him and Geno is great right now. Mm-hmm. We don't want this Sunday to be a coming together where Geno and DK are hugging afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, let's make sure that we keep that relationship a little disruptive, if you will.
As much as people get upset with the lack of pass rush and everything, the Falcons are, I think, first in yards per completion in the NFL at like 8.6 allowed, which is pretty good, but it's also the way they've played playing off. Also, can we stop blaming a defensive back in the same part of the field for a completion? Because you don't like every time a guy makes a catch and A.J. Terrell's in the vicinity, they're like, oh, it's the A.J. Terrell! And it's like, dude, he has played pretty well this year. I think we look at how well Mike Hughes has played as well, but our outside corners have been pretty stout, especially with their open field tackling, which has limited some of that yards per catch. But I agree with what Mike said. Let's not let DK Metcalf and Geno Smith let's not be their
kumbaya.
We don't need to be their
their catharsis, their breakthrough.
Yeah, this isn't marriage counseling, all right? And we don't need to be the counselor and make it right for them.
I don't want to be Dr. Phil, all right?
How about this? On first down, let's run for an average of 7 yards and just open up the playbook and just...
You sound like a big choo-choo train.
I mean, who would not take that?
The Falcons go 5-2. They're really going to start raise some eyebrows across the country, which would be a wonderful, wonderful thing.
But the Saints would still be better at 2-5, according to some.
33-10 Saints lose last night to their former head coach, Sean Payton, as well. But coming up next, something that hasn't happened in 50 games for the University of Georgia. And, well, they might as well not even go to Austin. Just don't even go. There's no chance, no shot whatsoever. It's coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Sorry. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I brought you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Georgia, Texas, 7:30 tomorrow night. in Austin. Not a lot of history between these two teams. Last time Georgia and Austin, 1958. Fran Tarkington was Georgia's quarterback. They lost that day.
You remember that game, right?
I remember. The one I remember the most was January 2nd, 1984, the Cotton Bowl. Georgia wins that one. That was the last. That was like Vince Dooley's last signature victory, because the 4 or 5 years after that, very mediocre. They retired in 1988. But I remember that vividly. January 2nd, 84, John Lastinger. They basically took a national championship away from Texas that particular day. Texas came in ranked number two, I believe. John Lastinger with what, the 20-yard TD run to seal it, 10-9. Very cold day in the Cotton Bowl that year. I remember that winter here, actually, in 1980. It was very cold here.
Yeah?
Yep.
I was one.
You were one.
No, I wasn't even one.
I was
one.
In high school, so.
I mean, I was probably 6 months in that winter.
And then, of course, Bevo almost impaling Uga.
Yeah, in the Sugar Bowl. I've never liked Texas football program because I've always felt like they felt they were better than everyone else. They kind of have that elitist attitude. The Longhorn Network.
Sense of entitlement is what you're saying?
Yeah, very much so.
Well, that's a well-heeled, very wealthy alumni base. So
yeah, so is A&M. From. And they think they're Texas, but they're not even close.
Man, you're just running the gauntlet right now. Yeah, trying to stoke the fires.
You want me to,
Anybody else you want to fight with?
You want me to talk about Texas Tech? I can go through the whole state if you want.
I mean, sheesh, UTEP's just out there trying to live their life.
I have no problem with
you. Got an axe to grind with Stephen F. Austin State?
I was going to say, what's the incarnate word over there?
Well, SMU paid their way to try to be Texas, and that came crashing down. Actually, SMU's pretty...
I was going to say, they ain't bad.
They're the toast of the ACC.
That ain't come crashing down.
Winning on the road is what they've been doing.
But I do feel like Texas has been humble the last 10 years, football-wise. Alabama snuck by them in the national championship game in the Rose Bowl. They've been kind of humbled, and they finally maybe have gotten back to the point where they think they've got the right coach. They've got a ton of talent. I mean, I think in the trenches, this Texas team is more talented than Georgia.
This is what Georgia was 2 years ago. Is what I'm thinking. 2-3 years ago, same sort of. And Georgia's issue is depth. Especially on defense.
It's hard to imagine a team that is top three in recruiting and eats in the transfer portal like they do has a depth issue.
But you can see with Georgia, every time a starter goes out of the game for a rest or they're injured, you can see it's a tangible, you can just see it. There's a drop-off.
And you didn't see that in 21. You didn't see that in 22.
Well, to me, that's a portal thing. Yep. I think it's absolutely a portal thing. And I think that to your point about Texas being Georgia 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the one thing that has happened in college football is more so than any position, I feel like we've seen a realignment. Of course, the quarterback is its own kind of beast, but we've seen a realignment in terms of strength along defensive lines because of the portal. Like Florida State last year, the defensive line they had, unbelievable portal guys. Ole Miss went out and got portal guys. Texas has timed it so well to where they have been now built like an SEC team through the portal a little bit, but also bringing guys along. They are built like an SEC team now, and they're in the SEC. Like, they have a great offensive line, and they have a good defensive line. And that's how they go about their business right now.
Georgia's not been an underdog in 50 games. You know, Kirby's been preaching that this week, right?
Oh, he's
Nobody's giving you a chance to win. We might as well not even. What did Saban do when you guys you weren't underdogs very often, but when you were?
Oh, listen, let me just take you on a stroll back down memory lane in my career. I redshirted my redshirt freshman year under Mike Shula. We were underdogs a lot, plenty, which we needed to be. But my first year when I redshirted, we went 10-2, won the Cotton Bowl, the whole bit. All right. So then Saban's hired my redshirt sophomore year, my third year. All right. And we come out and we're like, all right, I think we started like 6-2, right? Lost to Florida State and Jacksonville. That was a bad one. Beat Tennessee, who won the East that year. We're off and running. We got a bunch of suspensions, and we lose to Monroe, lose to Mississippi State. But to your point, we opened the 08 season as a massive underdog against a top-10 Clemson team right down the street in the Georgia Dome. And I think we were like 23 or 24. And that was nobody believes in you. You lose all these games last year. Posters of Mississippi State loss. Posters of the Louisiana Monroe loss plastered everywhere. Hey, people think you suck. Are you going to go out and prove them wrong? Yeah, I think I will.
Did you play in that Monroe game?
Yes, I did.
What? What was that? I don't want to, I'm not trying to bring up bad memories. I just think it's interesting to happen. Like, what's your mindset in a game like that midway through where you realize they're not going away?
So, a lot of things happened in that game. I think that's that house. And don't get me wrong. Like, a lot of times when games like that happen, it's a team that operates at a high level against a team with more talent that doesn't operate at a high level. I don't even think they operate at a high level. Like, we played the sloppiest game of football you can possibly imagine. You know, our quarterback throws a pick six early in the game. I think they were already up 7-0. Might have made it 14-0. We scratch and claw, get a touchdown. I think we might even have tied it at some point. And then, like, every time we're, like, trying to scratch and claw to get back into it, it was like a pick, a fumble, something bad would happen that just didn't allow it to happen. And also, man, and I know this gets overblown a little bit in some people's eyes because you look at the talent as opposed to other things, we really didn't still understand what exactly our scheme was offensively. Major Applewhite was our offensive coordinator. We were running a little bit of inside zone. I had to play guard that right guard that day because we had some suspensions along the offensive line for a textbook scandal that would make people laugh today's day and age. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, we had six of our best players. Glenn Coffey was suspended. Antoine Caldwell, who was an All-American center, and there was so many different things pointed in different directions. There was just it just fell apart, and the same thing happened against Mississippi State the following week. And it just, we couldn't ever get it pointed in the right direction. So if I could answer that with one thing, I would tell you, but it was just, it was a overcast 11 a.m. Central start. And we just, man, we played like crap. And that's what happens in college football.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you got to the last part. Cause I was about to say a lot of excuses being made there.
I don't have any. That's the point of the talk. I don't have any excuses. We just played like crap.
And I hate to put you on the spot. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I just wanted to ask because I've always been interested in what happens when teams with a ton of talent in college football, where you know where most of the people feel that most of the time, and it's true that you can show up and just on talent alone pull it out. How it doesn't happen.
I just don't think that's the case anymore.
I don't either.
I really think that there has been a great reckoning in college football to where, first of all, coaches are moving faster than ever, right? I mean, it's just, hey, if you're a good coach, it's like boom, 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 boom. McKalen DeBoer's 2 years at Washington. 10 years ago, the guy's at Sioux Falls. You know what I mean? And it's like all of a sudden he's the head coach at Alabama. It just, you're moving quickly. The players are moving. A lot of equalization.
I think Tashard Choice can be head coach within 2-3 years.
It's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick.
Very good running back. Good, great recruiter. Of course, went to Georgia Tech. He was all academic ACC while going to Georgia Tech. I know he probably majored in management, but he still got through the rigors of he was a good player.
Yeah.
Bounced around the NFL. Apparently a really good coach. I mean, ask Bijan about him, right?
What was the major that Rusty brought up yesterday they don't offer at Georgia anymore that's hurt? Was it criminal justice?
Yeah.
He was like, something like that. They don't offer criminal justice anymore. That one stings.
Yeah, are we done with that? Are we done with the Bo Morgan? Sophomore, sports management. Like, you know, when they always, remember that old school, you'd say your major, player would say his major, and you're like,
what's funny is I went to school, I was like, major in business. And like a year in school, I was like, nah.
What am I
talking about?
Physical Dylan education.
Dylan Matthews College, no college. All right, coming up, Raheem Morris announces he's going to ban fracking. It's coming up next in the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 Game.
No, he's not.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Those women will cut a bee.
You can buy me a beer.
He's going to be, look, Bo's going to have, first of all, he's going to have to guard his wife that is with child. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to have to, he's going to be on guard. But he also has a DD.
Got to keep little Damien safe, right?
Is Damien a girl's name?
It can be if you want it to be this day and age. You know what I mean?
You know what's, I'm going to get in so much trouble. But,
yeah, be careful.
But you know how, you know, the old Antichrist thing, and you're like,
well, that's why I said Damien.
I know. I thought about it this morning. I was like, oh, I got to raise my kid not to be the Antichrist. Hey, these are the thoughts I have driving in on the express lane.
My daughter's about to graduate. I kept her off the pole, man. That's victory.
That is.
Keep her off the pole, right?
Massive.
Right.
Honestly, I thought you were making fun of Bo's weird kind of allegiance to Day-Day when you said her name was going to be Damien. I was like, yeah, I can see Bo doing that. Yeah.
Is this where you want to be?
Well, I'm just saying.
703.
Kind of a weird thing going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going to buy her glasses as soon as she comes out of the womb.
Are the Falcons going to try to bring in a pass rusher?
I don't see it, man.
Who?
I don't know. Charles Harris. I don't know. It's not
we
be
have
Max
Charles
Crosby.
Harris already. He wasn't
guy,
that great.
Za'Darius Smith. Well, he's
the guy from New England's the guy that keeps getting
Aziz
brought up.
Aziz Ojulari.
He's playing for the Giants. He's doing pretty well, isn't he? Wait, the other Ojulari guy.
And he's the he's from here. No, the I can't remember the guy's name from the Patriots. He keeps getting brought up and all that.
And we got him already, Matthew Judon.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They're like, they've already made this connection one time. Might as well go back to the well and see if they can pull it out of there. No, but Rob, we talked about this yesterday. I'm glad you brought this up because Raheem referenced, and he was like, yeah, if you look at Arnold Ebukadi's PFF grade, which I thought was a little bit out of pocket for Raheem to bring up a PFF grade, but he's like, it's pretty good. And I'm like, that's an interesting comment, but we went back and did the comparisons, Rob, and he was kind of spot on. So I don't know. I know that you look at the sack numbers and you say, well, we could use some help, but who are you going to replace? You're not going to replace Judon. Well, and Arnold Ebukadi, evidently, in Raheem's eyes, is doing pretty well in those situations.
And I heard Carl and Mike talking about yesterday, and they're throwing out names like Max Crosby not coming here.
That's a pipe dream.
And Myles Garrett not coming here. Also, the thing I would tell you, somebody hit me about Myles Garrett, and I said, be careful. Because I'm not sure I want to throw like two first-round picks at Cleveland for Myles Garrett, yeah, who comes here with a big price tag. And guess what? A foot issue,
yeah,
that he might not play. I know this is over the top, but he could play. He could finish a year and then never play again for you. Now, if it gets you a Super Bowl, that's great. But the fact that he has a foot issue is bad. I mean, you don't want to do that.
Not the Tootsies, man. Don't get my Tootsies rolling like that. It's for somebody actually.
How many big men in the NBA have been just destroyed by bad?
There was somebody, maybe it was a Seattle guy. Somebody went out this week with Liz Frank, one of the offensive linemen in the NFL, and I was like, man. And they were like, well, be back for OTAs. And I was like, dude, just take it from me. That is not a slam dunk that he's
going
back for OTAs.
That woman has destroyed so many careers, that Liz Frank.
Old Liz, man, she's a beast.
She's toxic, man.
It's actually the name of a French general. I don't know if I ever told you that story before.
I didn't know that.
Somebody had to explain that to me one time, and I was like, oh, it's good to know because it's happened to me twice.
I thought he would have surrendered, so it wouldn't be an issue.
Happened to me twice, old Liz Frank.
Hey, Let's hear from Kirk Cousins, shall we? This interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. Easy, 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Let's hear from Kirko.
Let's get it right here. Let's get in the end zone. Let's go!
This is the Falcons Quarterback Report. The Falcons Quarterback Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Time to catch up with Kirk Cousins here on Countdown to Kickoff. And Kirk, congratulations on the recent string for your team. I want to dive into a little bit. You're such a mental guy. Obviously, the physical part of you got. The mental part of it, too, I think you exceed what most people are at this position. What are some of the things you're thinking about during the week as you try to get ready to go?
Yeah, I think you try to get a feel for the defense you're playing as to how they present pre-snap, what they then look like post-snap. you know, what difficult looks are there, you know, what are the plays that could get you in trouble, what's going to be your answer when you're getting in trouble. And then so much of studying is you study your opponent, but then you also got to really own your stuff to know that what am I doing versus every single possible look that we could get on each and every play. A lot of the preparation also is with teammates, is talking through, hey, I know what I need to do, but I need 10 other guys to know what they need to do. And so a lot of it is communicating so that we all know what each other is going to do, and that enables us to play fast.
What do you continue to work on from a physical standpoint when you're in practice as far as your drops and your feet and all that kind of stuff?
I think it's a footwork thing. I think just this week it was trying to make sure that my drops are you know, keeping me in the center of the pocket. I'm not drifting into Jake Matthews or drifting into Caleb McGarry. And I noticed on film sometimes that's happening. And so just trying to retrain my muscle memory, even in year 13, to make sure I'm staying in the center of the pocket and that I'm open to my left when the read calls for me to throw a ball to the left flat, and that I'm, you know, closing off to the right when the read calls for me to throw a ball to the right. So certainly you have to use your arm sometimes and throw from a unique position. But for the most part, you want to make life easy for yourself and be in alignment on as many throws as possible.
I know sometimes confidence can be fleeting for especially for younger players. How much does the confidence, is it bred by the way you guys ran the football last week and then that last Thursday, the way you threw it?
Yeah, it's a week-to-week league, Arch, and you know that. You never know what each week is going to bring. And I think you see it watching other teams where you have a team that lights it up and then the next week they're really struggling to find any offense. And so you learn that, you know, nothing's guaranteed, and just because something happened last week doesn't mean that that happens again. And I think that's where the sense of urgency and the preparation is there every week, because you want to make sure that you're stacking up strong performances, but they all are their own entity, and you truly have to stack another one up. You can't just roll over from the previous week.
In the vein of preparation, this is a staff that's brand new in Seattle, and I know you didn't play Seattle every year when you're in Minnesota, but still you saw him some.
Yeah, played him a lot.
But when you look at now Mike McDonald, who comes over as the defensive coordinator former from Baltimore, how do you study to get ready for a team like this? I know you got six games to look at.
Yeah, we got a sample size from this year, certainly, and that's good to go off of. But why not go back and look at what he did in Baltimore? I mean, they were number one in the league last year for a reason, and so you can learn from that. And then you certainly learn from this year, and you try to gather as much information as you can. It's my first time playing him as a defensive coordinator, because the 2 years he was the coordinator of the Ravens, my schedule didn't cross with his. Played him when he was an assistant, back in college when we played Georgia. So, you know, we've crossed paths, but the other crossing of paths is that my wife went to high school with him. So, you know, there's all kinds of paths being crossed, but it'll be a good challenge going against him. He's done a great job.
That's crazy when you had to go to wife for a little bit of scout on the DC. No, I'm playing. Tell me about this defensive group as far as what you see from a tape standpoint.
Yeah, they play hard. It's a good group. I have a lot of respect for certainly the scheme with Coach McDonald, but look at, you know, Witherspoon, a top five pick at corner who moves into nickel and does a great job there. You know, you look at Baker's linebacker from Miami, who I thought was a great backer there, and you know, have a lot of respect for him. I think Love at safety does a great job. So they got players all over, and you know, going against some of their D linemen like Jaron Reed and Jonathan Hankins many times, and have respect for them, what they can do. So they play hard, and it shows on tape.
Kirk, go have some fun.
All right, thanks, Arch.
All right, there you have it, right there. And guess what? You can run the ball in Seattle, gentlemen. Apparently,
talk dirty, Rob.
Apparently, you can run it deep.
Turns out you can actually hand the ball off in the NFL nowadays. No, man, that's what I'm excited about to see. I can't wait to see what our offensive game plan looks like and how it kind of adapts through the game. Because we came out, you know, people don't understand. You look at the running yards last week, Rob, and I know you'll appreciate this. We came out trying to throw it. We came out trying to throw the ball.
Yeah, the first three plays. Yeah.
I think it's five of the first seven, I want to say, were throws. And you're like, dude, come on, man. Let's run this pill.
This is such a weird matchup because it's weakness versus weakness and strength versus strength. What I mean is, like, their weakness is running the football. Our weakness is run defense.
Yep.
Our weakness has been running the football. If you don't, you know, if you haven't looked at the whole trend, their weakness is defending the run, right? Their strength is passing the football. Our strength, pass defense, and vice versa. So what we're good at, they're good at, And what we're bad at, they're bad at. It's just weird how this match up. So, some, you know, it's like the odd version of something's got to give.
You know what's funny that I've noticed from a breakdown standpoint is, like, obviously, as we all go throughout the week, you start looking at some of the matchup situations and listening to guys. And you guys know I'm a big Warren Sharp guy. I love to see what kind of his insight fantasy-wise. More and more do I start to read stuff where the Falcons and the NFL prognosticators have started leaving out the Pittsburgh game. It's like well, since week one or after week one, if you start counting after week one, the Falcons are this. And you guys saw me after that game, man. I was so stressed out because the alarm bells are sounding. I'm like, there's no way that after an entire offseason of planning that was the best game plan we could come up with. And I still look at the Pittsburgh game as a lost opportunity. But, you know, look at some of the other close wins we've had. I'm like, okay, I got to throw those in there too. So.
After 6 weeks, is Zach Robinson the most improved part of this team?
I was about to say, talk about his evolution.
I mean, I get to be around in certain scenarios around these guys. He's oozing confidence. Like I can look at him and see how he's carrying himself. And I got to talk to him before the season, before we even drafted this year. I had to talk to him off the record, and he feels. Like, the feeling I get from him right now is he's more confident now than he was then. And I think he was confident then.
Let me have the commercial break to answer that question. And when we get back, I'll give you my answer. How about that?
All right, so morning,
Chip. Until then, Whiskey Myers.
Mm. Yep. Oh, and by the way, what day is it?
Ding!
What is today?
Fair Foul Freaky Falcons Friday, Rob.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Triple N for Tifty. I'm back with you guys Thursday and Friday.
There it is.
Sounds like we're about to get in a bar fight in Yellowstone.
That's right. It's going down.
This is such a good tune.
You can spot
right
the
here.
Fake Cowboys a mile away.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Dude, I'm loving this Whiskey Myers on the way in and out.
Yeah, it's getting me excited for tonight.
That's going to be a brown liquor type of evening.
I might start pre-gaming at 10 a.m.
Chilling air. Oh, man. You pre-game at 10 a.m., I won't see you tonight. you'll be listening to that concert from the bed of your truck out in the parking lot.
Like last time.
I might have heard a Brooks and Dunn concert that way one time.
I'm not throwing you over my shoulder like a toddler and carrying you out of that thing either.
Yeah, you are.
Get it together.
You might have to.
No, you'll be throwing Mike over your shoulder and carrying you out.
I'll be dragging my
toes track the
ground. I'll be dragging him. I mean, how do you think that would work?
I don't know. I don't even want to picture
my
that.
My right knee would buckle quickly.
What am I doing right now? What am I saying we do?
Huddle.
Huddle up.
Let's huddle up. I used to have a quarterback, Rob, that always did the straightest fingers you've ever seen when he'd say huddle.
Do that.
He'd go like this, and I'd go, does that not
I think
hurt?
You got to cup the hands, though, I thought.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a flavor of the
fingertip,
week kind of
fingertip.
Thing.
Fingertip. Just a...
I don't know.
Let me see. I'm trying to think who that could be. That had to be, what's his name? Championship quarterback.
No,
number three. Somebody says, hold up three fingers. A lot of people do the middle finger.
Oh, you can't do that,
finger,
apparently.
Pinky finger.
Yeah, I think that one's got, that one's been outlawed. You can't do this either, because that one's...
Hook 'em horns for two, right? Hook 'em horns. We'll have more on that later.
Yeah, that's rock and roll.
Question of Zach Heavy Robinson. Metal. I've been pleased, Mike. What say you?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, because Bo brought this up, because is he the most improved part of the team? Is that how you worded it?
I think something like that.
So I was thinking about it, and first of all, to answer this question, you have to kind of outlaw everybody else on offense, right? Because it all leads back to him. Like, I could say Kyle Pitts, well, a lot of that has to do with Zach Robinson's usage, or it's Tyler Allgeier, who finally made his presence felt. Well, a lot of that has to do with Tyler Allgeier's usage. Is it Kirk Cousins, who looked awful in week one? A lot of that has to do with Zach Robinson and what he's done with Kirk Cousins. So I think to answer your question, yes. I think there's way more branches to that tree, though.
As fans, we blame the player first. We always blame the coach, I feel like.
Just a quarterback.
He's not being used right. Hold on. I've been told for years that the Falcons don't know how to use Kyle Pitts.
No.
I've been told for years that they don't know how to use Kyle Pitts. It's not a Kyle Pitts problem. It's a problem. And now it's a Zach Robinson problem.
Can I be honest? I think that's a positional thing. I think nobody, like, because you don't really look, it's hard to look at receivers and know if they're playing well to average people that aren't watching every rep, and they look at numbers, they look at catches, they look at yards. But like, if you to kind of go against your point, when you talk about linemen, right, it's always like, oh, he was a bust. You know what I mean? Like, you look at, like, first-round linemen, you're like, well, that guy was a bust. You don't ever point to the offensive line coach and say, well, he couldn't develop the guy.
Or the strength coach.
Right. You don't ever
work him out hard enough.
You don't ever point to, like, the defensive tackles and go, well, it might have been the defensive line coach. Like, no, it's just when you talk about receivers, yes, I'm agree. Okay. You go back to the coordinator and you're like, well, I don't know how to use them.
Grabbing at the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah,
because it's the easy answer.
Somebody asked a question or said, hey, would you guys trade Kyle Pitts and a third-round pick for Max Crosby and to the Raiders? And I wrote the guy back, and I said, well, first off, they're not making that trade because they're not giving up just that for Max Crosby. So, and he goes, well, my thing is that Kyle Pitts could stretch the field for the Raiders. And I go, well, then why isn't he stretching the field here?
Yeah. No, I
and then I calmed down and
it has the tweet. It has kind of because – and I don't think – that's not – I've gotten – it seems like 36 tweets like that since the beginning of the year about trading Kyle Pitts and saying, well, get him out while he still has value. Like, when you look at what they got for Davante Adams and Amari Cooper, I'm like, what value do you really think that Kyle Pitts holds in the team, in the eye of other teams? Like, there is none.
People automatically think he'd be this highly coveted thing.
No, draft slots have nothing to do in year four. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter that he was a fourth overall or whatever. Yeah, 100%.
It only matters if when he becomes a free agent and he seemingly lost his way with that team, that he'll get a second chance. First round and second round guys, actually even third, they get second chances quicker
a lot of those
than
guys,
later in the draft.
Especially at quarterback.
Yes, but this isn't a second chance moment.
Well, and my thing is, to your point, and I'll finish on this, you might as well, you want to buy low on Kyle Pitts, you might as well keep him here. Right, if that's what your thought is. You might as well buy low the fact that he can kind of integrate himself into Zach's offense.
You know what I love what's happened to the NFL? It's become like the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Remember, the trade deadline in the NFL greeted with a chorus of yawns for the most part.
Yes, dude. There was, I think the 5 years I was with the Falcons, I think there was two trades. I think we made two trades, maybe three.
I've got a theory on that. I just think it's basically that we don't give guys time anymore, like coaches and GMs. If you don't win immediately, you're out. So I think there's
more. You see
more
that all across sports. Like when John Smoltz says, in today's age, they would have cast me aside a long time ago.
100% right. I just think the urgency to win or to you know, even make the playoffs or whatever is so much more now than it used to be. Used to be you would get 3, 4, 5 years to change your roster over, build up your team, bring in your own guys. You don't get that anymore. If Raheem Morris doesn't have a playoff run in the first 2 years – there's a chance he's not here a third year. And I don't want that, but I'm just telling you, I think that's a reality.
I don't think I have a problem with it as much as y'all might. To me, a lot of times when you have first-year coaches and or first-year quarterbacks or both, I think you can tell. I think you can kind of tell when it's working. Like, Jaden Daniels, a prime example. C.J. Stroud, prime example. On the other side, Frank Reich and Bryce Young, that was not working. Nope. So you might as well rip the Band-Aid off. And I know that David Tepper catches a lot of hell for it, but I still think it was the right decision over
there. Well, the wrong decision – it's not the right decision because you made the wrong decision in the first place. You made the wrong decision by bringing in a coach and then telling him who he had to draft as the quarterback. That is where it all went wrong to begin with for them.
That's probably fair, too.
But I don't disagree with that needed to go.
Sunday, Falcons, Seahawks, first four-game winning streak since 2019, perhaps, maybe, could be. I'm just saying, just run the damn ball, man. Have a sexy day. Please, Mike, and run the damn ball. Mm.
You have such an opportunity Sunday because you can win your fifth game of the year. You can win another conference game. The Saints are now 2-5 after last night. Tampa Bay has a tough Monday night game against Baltimore, who seemingly found their way. And they're going to test that run defense of Tampa, and they're honestly going to test that defense in every way. And then you turn around and you go play Tampa the next week.
Hopefully, they'll be softened up after that Monday night game.
Yeah.
Hopefully, be a battered and bruised Tampa Bay.
I'm getting way ahead of myself, but think about this: you win your next two games, and Tampa stumbles the next two games. You could have a 2-game lead with the complete tiebreaker over the best team not named you in the division.
Can I tell you the one thing, though, as we head towards this weekend, obviously talking a lot about Seahawks-Falcons, the one thing that's not even really X's and O's related that scares me about this weekend is the extra rest days for them. When you look historically at NFL games where the team has had a significant advantage in rest,
but they're
it doesn't
still
always
banged
fare
up,
well.
Though.
They are, but
they're arrested, banged up.
Yeah,
arrested,
I mean, they're up. Like, that's the thing is, like, you have to play. Let's just say you had to play a different offensive lineman, which they do. Yep. You got 3 extra days to get him in the playbook, to get him integrated. Yep. Like, it's not the same as like a short week Saints team that we saw last night that's having to plug and play guys. Like, that's shorthanded. Those are rest days. Those are big when you talk about the NFL.
Mike. What day is it? What day is it?
And welcome to the Steakhouse. No, welcome to Fair Foul Friday. That's coming up next, man. You know what time it is. Rob Tribble in the house for Fair Foul Friday. Don't want to miss it. It's coming up next. Mic'd up. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
You know what happens when you hear that music. Shout out to John Foy. Shout out to Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. This hour is brought to you by those fine folks. And also catch me at Dudley's tomorrow. Lithonia from 5 to 7. I'll be there for the Alabama-Tennessee game. Be pre-gaming for the Georgia-Texas game. So no matter who you're looking forward to watching, show up and let's talk some shop. Dos Equis tailgate party at Dudley's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun event for you. You can come see me at Whiskey Myers tonight. You can buy me a beer or a vodka.
Matter of fact,
vodka
don't
grand.
Come see me.
Yeah, don't come see Mike, but you can come bring me a drink.
No thanks. I'm all right.
I'll take it. Just
don't
put
want anybody seeing the condition I'll
just
be in.
Just don't put anything like you
plan
know,
on partying pretty good.
Don't drop a hit of acid in or anything. I'm not trying to do all that at all.
All right, man. It's Fair Foul Friday. You guys know the drill. I throw it out there. You tell me if it's fair.
Foul.
You tell me if it's foul. No
foul.
Fines today, Rob. Rob, the innovator of the fine, walking down the middle. All right. Hey, no fines today. All right. Just straight up fair foul. All right. How about this one? We'll start off with that Georgia Texas game since we were just talking about it. The Dudley's build up tomorrow.
Can I ask you a fair or foul real quick?
Go ahead.
Fair or foul? Texas A&M going to Starkville?
Like why? No, you can't ask me a fair or foul before my fair foul.
Hold on. Being
how do you know that's not one of mine?
Being favored by 15.5.
Stop. Shut up. Let's go.
Is that foul?
All right. How about this one? This win would be bigger for Texas and Steve Sarkisian than the win against Bama last year in Tuscaloosa. If they beat Georgia tomorrow night, it will actually be a bigger win for that program than going into Tuscaloosa and beating Bama last year. Fair or foul, Rob?
I'm going to say foul. This can be their first real test. I know they went up to number 10. Michigan's not what they were last year. And everything else, you know, not quite.
All right. Bo, fair or foul, this win would be bigger for Texas and Steve Sarkisian than the Bama win last year in Tuscaloosa, which is known as kind of a marquee for them.
I think it's fair because I think it's in the SEC, and I think going against Georgia's program is now the measuring stick, all right, in the SEC. There's no Nick Saban. Even that team last year, I don't think that was quite the measure. I think this is a you have arrived moment for Steve Sarkisian because it would be the point your first signature win in the SEC.
All right.
I still think if they win tomorrow, there's a loss in there, an unexpected loss.
That's fine though. That's fine. You beat the IT program in the conference. To me, that's what would happen if you beat Georgia.
Well, right. No national championship's been won the third week of October. So.
Yeah. Well,
it's true, but
a lot of cigars smoked on the Tennessee Bama rivalry. All right, let's get back into it. How about this? Let's go to the Falcons Seahawks. Jesse Bates is the most important player on the field for either team. The most important player on the field for either team on Sunday will be Jesse Bates. He will tell you who wins this matchup. Jesse Bates will tell you who wins this matchup. Bo, we'll start with you. Fair or foul?
I think it's foul. I think the most important player every week is the quarterback.
Which one?
Well?
The winning one.
The one that plays better, yeah. I think Kirk Cousins is the most important person on the field for the Falcons, and I think it's the little things that he does, like the fact that on a run play, was it 3rd and 1, he takes Drake London and squeezes him down close onto the tackle, or maybe it was a tight end there, and because of the way the defense was playing, and that allowed them to spring the run to get the 2 to 3 yards they needed to move the ball.
All right, what do you think?
I'm going to say foul because I believe football is a team sport. Depends on how your 22 players play with the
that was a coward's
there
answer.
There is no.
That's
that was
a coward's
fine.
Answer.
He gave me the fine.
I'm willing to
warned
die,
him.
Coward.
All right.
Hey, why didn't you just say fine?
Hey, let's flip to Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports had this morning and after the game, actually last night. Alvin Kamara should be traded. So fair or foul, Alvin Kamara ends this season as part of the New Orleans Saints. Fair or foul, ooh, Alvin Kamara ends this season as part of the New Orleans Saints. Bo, we'll start with you.
Fair, I think he's a Saint. I don't think they're trading him. I just don't think that's Mickey Loomis's way. I think they're going to try to find a way to keep him there for as long as they can. Yeah. He's a staple for that team. Look, they might be unhealthy this year, but they are going to think about next year, you know. Yeah. And Mickey Loomis will do what he does every year. He'll somehow circumvent the cap and sign everybody under the sun.
Yeah. What do you think, Ryan?
I'll say foul. He's looked as good as he has in 3 years this
year. Yeah. It is blowing my mind that, you know, Bama signed Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry at the same time at one point. That just makes you crazy.
Embarrassment of riches.
It's nuts. All right, how about this one? Fair or foul? All right, and I'm going to go see if I can pull this up real quick. Fair or foul, Texas A&M will play in the SEC championship this year. Fair or foul, Texas A&M, who is leading the SEC right now, will play in the SEC championship this year. So starting with this weekend, they got Mississippi State. And then they got number 8, LSU, South Carolina, New Mexico State, Auburn, and then finish the year with Texas. Texas A&M will actually play in the SEC championship game this year. Fair or foul?
I'll say foul. It's going to be Texas, Alabama.
Ooh, wow. That came out of nowhere. All right. Bo, I'm going to guess you don't agree with him on that.
I think it's fair. I think A&M's got a great chance. I think they could play in the SEC championship game. Yeah.
Because, I'd be happy for Mike Elko.
Because guess what? Georgia.
Even if they lose, the Texas is still in a good spot.
Yeah, because they haven't lost in the SEC.
No.
Alabama and Tennessee have both lost in the SEC, so they're about to have their second SEC loss. Georgia could have their second SEC loss. Hell yeah, sign me up for capital F-A-I-R.
Yeah, he wants the chaos. Bring on
the
chaos.
I want all the smoke.
All right, me and Bo headed to Whiskey Myers tonight, man. Been playing it all day. Love it. Can't wait. Rob mentioned Porch Fest that's going on this weekend. So how about this one? Fair or foul, Friday night concert is better than a Saturday music fest. Fair or foul, a Friday night concert is better than a Saturday music fest.
Foul, I love music festivals. This isn't necessarily a festival. But
right,
it's
no.
The gravity magnitude of this party is amazing.
It is. I got to give you that for sure. And I've never been, but I've seen videos. Bo, what do you think? Fair or foul, Friday concert better than Saturday music festival?
In the fall, that's fair. In general, it's foul.
Really?
Yeah, I like.
Didn't strike you as a music festival
I like
guy.
A music. Oh, I love a good music. I mean, I've went to Ozfest quite a few times. Warped Tour. You know, Country Fair when they used to have that.
Right.
Yeah, sign me up.
How about this one? We'll go back to the bins for Sunday. More rushing yards than passing yards for the Falcons this weekend. More rushing yards than passing yards for the Falcons. On Sunday, fair or foul?
I think it's foul. How often do we ever see an NFL team run for more than they throw unless Arthur Smith is the OC?
Right. What do you think?
I think it's foul. You're going to pass for more yards. It's going to be 250 yards passing, 137 yards rushing.
Okay.
Oh, I think you're wrong on the rushing.
Just wishful thinking.
I think they'll have 147 at least.
Wishful thinking for me.
I wonder, giving up 145 on average. I mean, come on.
All right, I want to make sure I read this quote. I'm going to read it off my computer, and this is about Byron Murphy. All right, this is Byron Murphy. He's been out for a couple of weeks for Seattle's defensive line. His quote kind of struck me. That's what I do. I'm a force in the run game. Also the pass, too. But me being there in the run game, I'm going to help out a lot. I did hear that Atlanta was supposed to draft me. I heard rumors about that, but they passed up. So that's their fault. That's a big loss for them. They will feel me on Sunday. All right? Byron Murphy, the rookie out of Texas, is too confident. Too confident. Is that fair or foul? Too confident.
No, that's foul. I mean, what do athletes do? They look for any slight to motivate them.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Anything to flip that switch. So good for him. I got no problem with
it. You got no problem with it. What do you think, Bo? He's too confident.
Delusional,
fair
but,
foul.
You know.
Well, I think it's fair. He's pretty confident for a guy that was limited in practice yesterday with a hamstring injury. Also, the dumbest thing on earth is that Mike Florio thinks this is a story.
Well, evidently more people than Mike Florio do, because this is a headline. It's a headline on ESPN as well. So that's kind of where this quote comes from.
Yeah, it's dumb. This whole story is stupid. It doesn't make –
First of all, can you imagine Atlanta taking shots for, I mean, yeah.
I don't remember him being on our on anyone's mock draft coming here. Now, I would have liked to have had Byron Murphy. I'm not going to lie. I think he's a good player. I think he's going
to
be a good player.
He would have been a reach in that spot, to be honest with you. He would have been a reach in that
spot.
Well,
he doesn't think so, but who cares? You know
what? He was not even on my radar. I knew who he was. He was not even on my radar.
Hey, big dog, get healthy and play. Actually play on Sunday. And then talk trash after you maybe do something and play.
All right, so here I got two more really quick. A loss for Tennessee this weekend is worse than a loss for Bama. Third Saturday in October, Bama versus Tennessee. A loss for Tennessee this weekend is worse than a loss for Bama. Fair or foul? But we'll start with you.
I think it's foul. Because I think Kalen DeBoer needs – you can't lose to Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the same season.
Yeah, that's probably pretty fair. All right. I guess the standpoint, Rob, that I'm looking at, they had a lot of people talking about Nico Iamaleava. Yeah. It's fourth year for Josh Heupel. Nick Saban's no longer at Bama. What do you think? Fair or foul?
I'll still say foul because Nico's a freshman.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a
growing pains, obviously.
All right, we'll finish here. South Carolina versus Oklahoma this weekend will be the most out-of-conference feeling conference game of the year. South Carolina versus Oklahoma.
Big fair.
It'll be the most out-of-conference feeling conference game of the season. Bo's wheels are spinning. He's going, no, it's going to be Vanderbilt. And who is it, Bo?
Talking about just for the SEC?
Yeah, just period. Oh, most out-of-conference feeling conference game of the year.
Nothing felt very conference-like about Miami playing Cal on a Saturday night.
Is USC at Maryland, I think, this weekend? Like, the college football.
Well,
drunk.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you completely. When I found out that Penn State went to USC, or when UCLA went to Penn State, both those
Ohio
games.
Ohio State at Oregon?
I go, man, that's a weird out-of-conference game.
There was one game, I can't remember who it was, and I know we got to get a break. There was one game played that maybe it was Kansas State or somebody, that was an out-of-conference game, and the two teams are in the conference. Like, they had already had it scheduled, and they didn't match up in the conference schedule, and they're like, we'll just keep the game on the schedule. We'll just be an out-of-conference
game. That's the weird thing to me is that when Oklahoma and in Texas announced they were going to join the SEC, Sankey was like, "You got to Oklahoma and Georgia can't play each other before."
Right,
and
right.
I'm just thinking, I don't – this is a great song, by the way.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
I was just like, but why? Why not be a great preview for the conference?
Why
but
would
you
that
know
throw Western civilization on
I don't know. Greg Sankey, let me tell you something. I will give Greg Sankey credit. He might be a smidgen smarter than me when it comes to conference alignment and scheduling. Just a smidgen, but I don't – there's no way he knows fast food better than me.
I still think Iowa State going to Morgantown last week. It's not a conference game, but that was weird. And speaking of Iowa State –
it was a conference game.
Oh, that's right, it was.
Yeah. Hold on,
that was a conference game.
So you watched weird. That game, right?
I peeked at it, yeah.
All right, did it not look like West Virginia, the state, had an antenna on the top of the state in the helmet?
On their helmet, yeah. It looked like a mixture of a turd and a space alien with an antenna. That's what I was thinking. But anyway, well, you asked.
It also looked like an upside-down Tennessee.
Well, you want to get rid of that turd, Contact Zero Res, a smart lasting clean. They will cleanse everything.
That's right.
Everything, they will cleanse it. Hey, we got picks coming up. Oh, and we got David Archer. Speaking of Iowa State, Dave Archer going to be joining us at 8:20 as well. Life is good. Then we'll hand it off to the steakhouse and get ready for a fantastic, beautiful weekend. It's Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Steakhouse coming up top of the hour. Of course, it's a Falcons Friday. Massive weekend of college football, of course. Texas, Georgia. Notre Dame, Georgia Tech. Tennessee, Alabama.
The third Saturday. Saturday in October.
And we have to do our mandatory picks that you don't even care about. So
yeah. And I do, real quick, Rob, before we get to our picks, I want to invite people. Me and Bo talked about this last week. A lot of people, obviously, second-guessing our picks. We have shown ourselves to not be very good at making our locks of the week pick, you know, the mandatory and everything else. So if you want to be a part of this, to be read on air, on Man Up Monday, get your picks into the 929 Morning Shift account on the Twitter. I'll retweet it. Bo's going to retweet it. You got to do your two locks of the week, and then you can pick any two other games. That's four games you'll be picking, and if you can hit it running, we'll talk about you on Monday.
Yeah, we don't want to be the only idiots with egg on our face. Right. We want to see you with egg on your face, too.
Right.
Come join us.
Join the party.
Come
it's
join
not
us
easy.
Look stupid.
When you're 12 and 15, Mike, you're 14 yeah. and 13.
I'm hanging
one
on
one game
thread.
Over 500.
I don't think his is accurate. I think there's a typo.
Is that what it is?
And I'm 6-8, so under the old NFL 16-game schedule,
there's
if I can win
chance.
Two more games, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I can scratch and claw my way to a wild card, right?
There you go. I like the way you're thinking.
All right, let's start off with the NFL. The mandatory picks, as mandated by one Dylon. This is a good one, though. This is going to be entertaining, of course. Rematch of the Super Bowl. Chiefs going out to San Francisco. Take on the 49ers. San Francisco, 2-point favorite home, which basically means kind of a push, right?
Yeah. Andy Reid, 21-4 in his career, coming off a bye week.
Oof.
I like the Niners in this game. But I am going to go with history. Give me the Chiefs plus two.
Mm.
Chiefs plus two.
Yeah, I'm going to zig when you zag, man. The Chiefs are undefeated, and the Niners are favored, even with all the injuries the Niners have. These are two – I want people to enjoy this game when they watch it. These are two of the most innovative offensive minds in the history of the NFL that you'll be watching this game. Watch how these offenses operate, but I'm going to go with San Francisco minus the 2 points.
Are you shocked that the over-under is only 46.5?
I don't know, because San Francisco's defense trending upward, gave up only 52 yards Seattle last week. I've got San Francisco winning this game outright.
I just think when you look at Rashee Rice not a part of this game, Travis Kelce's had his ups and downs, and on the other side, Christian McCaffrey, you know, everything. Like, I just think that kind of just lends itself to you still like both these coaches and quarterbacks,
right.
But what's around them is a little bit lesser than you kind of originally imagined it would be in this matchup.
And the Chiefs haven't exactly been overwhelming at 5-0. You know how they kind of tend to sputter through the month of October, then kind of wake up. San Francisco gets the win on Sunday. All right, gentlemen, let's go to Austin, Texas, shall we?
Woo!
Who's your pick for the F1 race on – I'm sorry, not the F1 race. There's that college football game on Saturday night as well. Georgia at Texas.
Oh, man. This one
Texas
has been –
Texas minus five-point favorite.
This one's been very, very tough for me throughout the week. I've gone back and forth. Here's what I'll say, and I used to, and before Georgia fans get mad at me, this is what I used to feel about Nick Saban as well. Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are so good at making sure their guys on defense play to rules. They have rules for everything. This man, second man out, flat defender, release, blah, blah. Guys like Steve Sarkisian know that, and more times than not, they are able to take advantage of those rules because they know those rules. Right? And so I think that Georgia is still a very good team. I'm not ruling them out of anything in the long run. But I think that this atmosphere might be a little too much for Georgia. I actually like Texas minus the points.
That's not an overwhelming home field advantage for Texas. That's kind of a wine and cheese crowd. They're too laid back.
But I think because of this game, because of the hype around it and its possibility to be the game of the year, I think that first big SEC home game, like I think that crowd is going to be on another level.
I'm not ready. I'll order last.
No, what?
Georgia, hyper-penalized team, almost like Alabama for the most part. They're not getting any takeaways.
Yeah.
They have not played a complete game yet. I got Texas covering, winning this thing 38-31, unfortunately.
All right.
And I'm a Georgia fan.
So. I have a feeling like this is going to be a however or a not so fast.
No, I have no feel for this game because I think Texas is going to win this game. I think Texas is the better football team. Georgia is a team that is kind of switching identities, and what I mean by that is there used to be what we always thought was a run-first team. They're a throw-first team this year. A lot of that has to do with some of the injuries. They're defensively, they are nowhere near the dominant team they've been. I think Texas is going to win this game. I just don't know which Georgia shows up, the first half against Alabama, the second half against Alabama. I would tend to lean towards y'all. I'm just terrified this game is going to be really close. I think Georgia loses this game, but I think they might cover the 5.
Mm, interesting.
But I'm picking Texas.
It could be like an Ohio State-Oregon type one-point thing.
So picking Texas just like we are, but you just wanted to throw that caveat in there just for Man Up Monday. So
you know
we play
what?
The sound back that you don't sound bad. Okay.
You know what? Forget it. Talked me into it. I'm going to take Georgia to cover and lose.
Oh, you really don't have a feel for this game then.
I don't.
Just zigged when everybody else zagged. Okay.
All right, I'm going to go another sexy matchup on Sunday. Lions going to Minnesota.
Ooh, I like what you're doing.
1.5-point favorite. Yep. Lions without Aiden Hutchinson. I know that's not it's kind of catastrophic in a way you could say. Oh, certainly, dude. It's kind of hard to deal with that.
Number one graded, we're talking about Arnold McKay. Number one graded edge guy in the NFL is Aiden Hutchinson.
I think the Vikings are about to really race to one of the top teams. Clearly, I got the Vikings winning this game, like 28-17, man.
Wow,
Vikings are for real.
Wow. All right, I'll go with my NFL kind of wild card game of the week. Eye opener. Can you imagine a scenario where the Jags are favored by 6? The Jags are favored by 6.
Over who? Wheeler High School?
That's my point. It's against the New England Patriots. The Jags are favored by 6. You go, man, how could a team with one win be favored by 6 points? Vegas knows how bad New England is.
Well,
they know how bad New England is.
Also, I think Jacksonville's been in London now for like 2 weeks.
Right, right.
So
that's probably the only thing saving old buddy's job.
How long before they just end up moving over there? That's the ultimate goal.
They just built that new facility down there, that new Price facility, like $1 billion. They're not moving. They just
their stadium's getting renovated too.
Yeah.
Ninth time.
I'm going with the Jags -6. -6.
What do you think about Houston? What's the first thing you think about Houston, the team?
Explosive offense.
Okay. All right. That's it. What's the first thing you think about Green Bay?
Highly paid quarterback that was injured earlier this year.
But y'all, they can score points, right?
Sure, sure.
The over/under is 47.5 at Green Bay.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll take the over in that game.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that number
tells
you. Yeah,
day, take the over. Houston at Green Bay, 47.5, and you'll be able to take the wifey out to a steak dinner. Tell her it's on squid because you won money from me.
All right, what you got for your other college game?
Bo, you go first with college. I've been going first the whole time. It's time for you to step up.
I don't understand why no one is talking about Georgia Tech, Notre Dame.
That was my game I'm going to do. That's all right. Well, I can do it too.
Yeah,
hold on.
I think you should.
Hold on. I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. It is a prime time 3:30 game. Notre Dame is almost a 10-point favorite. We don't know what Haynes King is going to do. Some say he won't play. Chick-fil-A Garrett says he won't. And he would know. He's an insider over there.
He's a freshman at Tech. Looks like that way.
For all of these reasons, I'm not touching that game at all.
I was going to say, please don't pick that game.
Army is 6-0. They're a 16-point favorite. They have scored 42 points in 35 or more in 5 of their first 6 games. The over, 51.5 against East Carolina. Give me Army and the over of 51.5. The dial score keeps it going. What Dennis Dodd tell us? The most efficient passing team in the country.
Wow.
That's going to be Georgia's first playoff game. They're going to have to go to Army.
Wow.
Army, the over, 51.5. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
I'm touching Georgia Tech Notre Dame. I just think without Haynes King, even if he's hobbled, and I know how you beat Notre Dame, how did Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame running the ball. I know Tech's going to try to do that. I think Notre Dame's just too much for Georgia Tech right now. I love what Brent Key's doing. Mm. I love the culture he's building, the infrastructure. 11-0, I actually think Notre Dame covers, wins like 32-16.
Yeah. All right, I'll go to my game. There is if you just look at records, there's a game in the SEC this weekend that I think could be monumental. There's a 5-1 team, ranked number 14 in the country, facing off with a 1-5 team who has been an underdog in just about every matchup they've played this year. All right. And Vegas loves games like this. And you would look, you'd go, man, that spread, 5-1 versus 1-5, that's got to be like a 35-point spread or something like that. It's not. It's 17. It's 17 right now. And I'm talking about Mississippi State against Texas A&M. Vegas knows that Mississippi State plays hard. Texas A&M, they have a good record, but they've been in a couple of bare-knuckle brawls along the way. I don't think Mississippi State even comes close to winning this game. But I think Mississippi State covers the 17.5 that they are getting in this game. Give me Mississippi State to lose by 10 against Texas A&M in a big home game this weekend. That's a 4:15 start. I like Mississippi State plus 17.5.
Maybe if Mike Elko shoves the quarterback of Miss State early in the game, it'll take him off there.
Oh, God.
Dear Lord. Dear Lord.
People are still dwelling on that.
I know. It's funny. I heard a whole conversation about it yesterday, and I was like, I mean, there's not more storylines than this?
What did Mark Ingram say? A real alpha would have gotten back on Kirby. Yeah. Yeah, but the entire alphabet of red jerseys would have converged upon you if you.
Well, let me tell you something. It's easy for Mark Ingram to sit at a desk and say that.
Just stop.
Mike's about to kill me in the break. Mark's his boy.
That's a funny comment from somebody that sits at a desk and says things like that all the time.
Oh, I know it's easy.
This next guy coming up, shove him, see what happens to you.
I've shoved him before. Anyway. I hit him outside the head, but that's what shoved him.
Yeah, mess around with Arch and find out. David Archer coming up next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio 99 again. They're going to have chicken wire up in front of the stage tonight for this band. That's what it sounds like.
Hey, man,
I love it.
This might be my new mic'd up background. I love that song.
The Miller Lite bottles will be a slinging. Arch don't know nothing about this.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and commence packing. David Archer, good morning, number 16. How are you, sir? Do we have Arch?
I'm here.
Oh, there we are.
You got to push the right button. Bill's got to push the right button back there. Come on.
Hey, Arch, I got a two-prong question for you. You can handle it easily. I'm enjoying how now the NFL trade deadline is almost coming like Major League Baseball's trade deadline. High-profile names moving all over the place. How do you feel about that, and will the Falcons go out and try to get a pass rusher?
I think they're going to continue to look, Rob. I think that, you know, and I'm not saying anything you guys don't already know. I think Terry Fontenot's always scanning and trying to figure out what fits and things. There's some parameters to some of the players. I know the one particular player plays for the Jets. Can't talk about it because he's currently under their regime. I know they're still working a contract with him. But there's some things that are attached to him that make him a little bit less attractive as far as being able, not just the person, but some of the parameters around it. Now, I know that's kind of elusive and things like that. But I think they're still looking, Rob. I think they're going to try to, you know, do whatever they can to get somebody in here that fits. What they do fits who they are personality-wise, and obviously a guy can make plays in the field.
You like it, though? You like this kind of new approach in the NFL, the trades?
Well, it's interesting that I think there's a lot of teams that are running a similar style of defense and offense, and so I don't think it's quite as hard to fit guys in. Wow. Now, if you go get a quarterback or something like that, it's a little bit different. But I think if you want to fit a receiver in, like we saw the two – teams went and got a couple of receivers, Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams. Those are guys that I think can fit into those systems. So I think that it's a little bit easier to go find a guy. You know, baseball, it's easy. You go find a guy to play right field and hit in the third spot. There's not a lot of, you know, dynamics attached to that. But when you got a guy that's got to come in and learn an offense or a defense, that makes it difficult.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Arch, and I think you'll like this. So I was asked about the Falcons making trades, and I was like, I think I only remember two in my 5 years, and one of them was a player for player. Akeem Dent was traded for our now quarterbacks coach T.J. Yates from the Houston Texans. I'm like, man, that's a throwback
sexy
pick.
That's
right,
a sexy
there.
Trade right there.
But Arch, I want to focus a little bit too. You talked about the possibility. I kind of brought up the point earlier that, you know, when you listen to Raheem talk about Arnold Ebiketie, it sounds like he's pretty comfortable with Arnold Ebiketie at that spot. And obviously, Matthew Judon, you already brought him in kind of on the other side in those situations. So it sounds like Raheem likes what Arnold Ebiketie's doing right now. What have you seen from AK so far this year?
Well, I thought this last weekend, Mike, that I thought AK was very active this last weekend. He talked about, I know, with the interviews that he did with Dukes and Bell on Wednesday, when I talked to him on Monday for his coach's show, he talked about how he stole a sack from Ebiketie because he accepted a holding penalty. It was the right thing to do in that situation from a strategy standpoint, but just to indicate that Ebiketie was there and would have gotten a sack. I thought he was close to the quarterback two or three times. I thought it was his most active game of the season. So if you're gauging it on coming on and getting better, he's getting more reps too. I think that they've been trying to settle in as to who they want to play on the edge. So I think that's part of it as well. But I think Ebiketie is – I thought he had a good week last weekend against Carolina. And he's got an opportunity against a team this weekend in Seattle that's given up, 19 sacks on the year. This is a team that's given up some sacks, the Geno Smith. So I think that if he's a hot player, and if there is such a thing as a hot player when you only have five sacks, he seems to be one of those guys that seems to be coming on.
Well, don't worry, Arch. I've been told by different trade scenarios, if he doesn't come on in the next couple of weeks, we can always trade D'Angelo Malone in a seventh for Max Crosby on the workout just fine for us. Look, DK Metcalf is honest. He's one of the better receivers. He's a big, physical guy. I know that he's been up and down this year and he's been complaining, but how do you play and defend a guy like DK Metcalf?
Well, you mentioned the big physicality. The thing that makes him different is his ability to run. So, you know, you get big physical receivers. It's one thing. You could put a bigger corner on them. You can put a guy that's a little bit more of a gnat guy that kind of gets in their way and they can't seem to get off the ball and things like that. This guy's a different dude. So I think you're mixing coverage up on him, trying to confuse him, maybe try to get him a little bit irritated because he's not touching the football. He only caught three passes last week against the 49ers, and I thought that he looked like on tape that he was starting to get frustrated. I think that that's something that happens to him. I think that that's something that Geno Smith's continually battling on the sidelines, trying to make sure that he understands, you know, I'm trying to get you the ball, just keep playing. So I don't think there's any perfect remedy to playing a big receiver that can run like he can. He's a talented guy. Biggest thing is don't give up the big explosive play. You know, this is an offense that they haven't thrown all of it. What, he's thrown six touchdown passes on the year, Geno Smith. So they haven't made a lot of plays in the end zone. They made some explosive in the middle of the field. But I think just keeping them away from big plays, making him earn everything he gets, tattoo him when he catches the football, those are really the only things you're going to do to him.
Talk about the evolution of Zach Robinson. After week one, the Villagers were about to run him out of town with torches as if he were Frankenstein. And just talk about that evolution.
Yeah, I think Rob, it's about him learning his personnel. I think that we knew that there was going to be a growing period. It was going to be complementary with his quarterback learning the people he's playing with. I mean, you can call plays all you want to, but there's another guy out on the field that's executing those plays, and Kirk Cousins is a guy that started to come on as well. I think those two guys are locked hand in hand, understanding rotations, when they want a certain guys in the game. You know, the running back rotation has been fun to watch and how they've been able to exploit those two guys and go with a hot hand. Which guys are guys that are going to play in the slot? You heard Raheem talk about this week, kind of some of the plan that they didn't necessarily divulge to the public during training camp, but what they want to do with Drake London and mirroring some of the things that Zach had done and that Sean had done out in L.A. with Puka Nacua, was attacking different areas of the field with a big-bodied receiver because Drake's got the ability to do that, moving him around, those kind of things. I think that some of that's starting to come to light, some of it's starting to become more comfortable, and he's settling into a rhythm as to what he can get to and who he can trust in certain situations. So I think that it'll continue to get better, too, I think.
Arch, when you look at the Seahawks defense on tape, why have they struggled to stop the run? They're 27th in the league, allowing right at, 145 yards a game?
Yeah, they're giving up explosive plays, Bo, is what the deal is. In their first three games, they gave up, I think, 14 explosive plays. That's 15 yards or more. The last three games, they've given up 24 plays of 15 yards or more. And some of those, there's a good number of those have been run plays. And so I think that the number – when you look at the number, it's similar to Atlanta's number. I think when you look at 145 yards, wow, you're getting bludgeoned in the run game. Well, it's not as bad as it seems because they're giving up a play here or there that blows the number up. I thought if you looked at Atlanta's run defense last week, it was a little better than the number might have indicated, although they only gave up 120 yards on the ground. That's still a good number of yards rushing, and it allows the team to stay somewhat balanced. But if you go back and look at it, it was like in two drives where Chuba Hubbard got loose for about 40 or 50 yards in two drives. And other than that, it wasn't a big deal. And I think that that's what's going on with Seattle. So I think the numbers are a little bit. Now, it tells you that they're giving up big plays, and they're giving up big plays in the passing game too. But I think that the number is a little bit ballooned because you only played six games and they've had a couple of games where they've given up a good chunk of yardage, and especially in explosives.
I'm finishing up with our buddy Dave Archer here. Dave, look, man, I think we've talked a lot about, you know, kind of splits as far as run pass, and because Seattle is so heavy, like they lead the NFL in dropback percentage. Geno Smith, I think it's averaging, you know, 46, 47, 48 dropbacks a game. But I want to talk about the Falcons in that aspect, because the last 2 weeks we've seen it done two different ways, right? Kirk Cousins, you know, 58, passes thrown a couple of weeks ago against the Bucs. And then this past weekend, you run for 200 against the Panthers. What do you see that split in and up like? And I don't know if I'm, you know, hey, you know, got to be 50%, but what do you see the game plan being as far as the running game versus the pass game this weekend?
Well, certainly you're going to probe these guys against the run. As Bo just talked about, they've given up some explosives, and I think you'll continue to get after them. You got to figure, and you know as well as I do, Mike, what they're doing defensively. Mike McDonald's looking at that run defense, and they're putting on the tape of what Atlanta did to Carolina. Say, wait a minute, we got to gang up against the run. We're going to stop the run. We're going to be better against the run game. So I think Zach will probe that. I think that the thing that you like, and I know you know this, you like the fact that you could ebb to one or the other, and you could be really good in either one. And I think that makes you difficult to prepare for. This is, you got 3 days to get ready to play, as you know, and to try to prepare for everything Atlanta's doing from a receiver quarterback standpoint, throwing the football, to now all of a sudden you got to, you know, do the physicality thing, get guys in the box and try to defend the run. That makes it tough to get ready for. So I don't think there is a magic balance. And it was 38 runs, I think 30 passes last weekend. And then it wasn't even more close to that Thursday night game you're talking about. So I love the fact that we could do that. I think that makes you difficult to defend. But I don't think there is balance to me is when you're moving the ball. You know, what moves the football? That's the balance. And it's not run to pass.
All right, Arch, I got to ask you about your Cyclones. A good buddy of mine went to Iowa State as well, and y'all have such an interesting helmet history. Go back and look at the history of Iowa State helmets. You got UCF tomorrow. You know, you've got to deal with Utah on the road, I believe, also. What do you think going forward about your Cyclones?
Yeah, Rob, I'm going to get boring with you here. They got to make sure they take care of UCF. They had a tough time stopping West Virginia's run game early on, and it's quarterback run that bothers them more than anything else. We talked about this before. Now, K.J. Jefferson got sat down last week. I assume that, you know, he's ready and ready to go. But they're UCF's averaging about 280 yards on the ground. Iowa State's giving up about 140, which is not anywhere near the top of the conference. But the quarterback run game has hurt them, and it's allowed teams to stay on the field. So I expect them to win this football game. I think they're a 15-point favorite in the game. I don't ever like to see that number. I like to see it a little bit closer because I think it is. But I think they're playing at a high level. They're doing a lot of good things on offense. They got two receivers that go make plays, and the young quarterback keeps improving. So if they can keep playing that good defense, solid bend, no break defense, then I like their chances in the conference.
All right, 4:30 on Sunday, Falcons will be 5-2, brother. Let's go out and get a win.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Arch.
Let's do it. Rise up, baby.
All right, there we go, Dave Archer.
You heard the man.
Yeah, look up the history of Iowa State helmets, man. It's pretty cool, actually.
Interesting.
What you got coming up, Squid?
Going to go through the NFL a little bit. Is there a quarterback change that's about to happen in Pittsburgh, and how is one of the quarterbacks handling it?
D'Angelo Malone is untouchable, by the way.
Can't
untouchable.
Have him.
No.
Can't have him.
How dare you?
You wouldn't trade him in a seventh for Max Crosby?
No.
All right. All next on the morning show.
Somebody didn't really say that, did they? Online. Jeez.
No, it was pretty close.
Close.
Pretty
the absurdity
close.
Of those stupid scenarios to get somebody like Crosby.
Pretty close.
It ain't going to happen. All right.
Next Life of the morning shift. Now. Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I was not an all-conference baseball player at Division II West Georgia.
But you were but a college baseball player, and you're all-conference in our hearts.
An all-American human being.
Oh,
you're all 929 The Game. Did you know that?
That's the skinniest kid at fat camp.
First team.
Type of.
Well, you know what? It could be worse. You could be all something somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and nobody would hear you. Anyways. Don't forget, November 25th, the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefits Pets for Vets. Sign up today. The spots are quickly going away. There's not as many as you would think left. So go ahead and get your spot today.
It's a great charity.
It is. I love it. I absolutely love the thought of it because I love pets and I love our vets. And you combine the two. I mean, that's the greatest thing in the world. Go to the 929 The Game website. Go to the events page. And
reaction of vets when they get that pet. It's like worth 20 grand in therapy.
Well, and it's therapy. It never goes away. I mean, if you get the pet that you want, they'll train these pets for you. It's an amazing charity. Sounds like Justin Fields' days as a starter could be limited. In fact, it could be over starting Sunday. I mean, Russell Wilson has taken a lot of the first team reps. Justin Fields was asked about it, and honestly, I don't think he could have gave a better answer.
I don't think I played, you know, good enough, if I'm being real with you. If I'm being real with myself, I think if you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any sort of playing or not. We got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But, you know, there's areas that, you know, I could be better at.
Wow.
the honesty, the self-reflection, whatever you want to say about what he did and didn't do as a starter.
Yeah.
The one thing I know he did was, for the most part, he protected the football.
Yep.
And he had some fumbles, but as far as interceptions, though, I think he had one. I think he only had five touchdown passes.
What I liked about that soundbite, he wasn't just doing the politically expedient thing and saying all the right things. There was sincerity in that tone.
If I'm being real with you.
Yeah.
If I'm being real with you, if I'm the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm on the phone right now trying to get him. Back and forth.
They're not giving him up.
O'Connell.
They're not giving him up.
If think of what they could get, though. They could get some capital. I would be trying to if number of teams actually, but the Raiders more than anything, I'd be trying to get him.
I do think he was helped with the system and in the run game, but I think it shows that what I saw from him this year, which I haven't and you didn't see, it wasn't 100%. But I thought he was able to play within the system. And I'm not sure if he did that, a good job of that in Chicago. But I thought he did here. Now, you still got whatever's going on, you know, George Pickens and his unhappiness. And I don't think anyone can make George Pickens happy. I think that's a him
thing. He's only happy when he's unhappy.
Well, I think sometimes you got to do some self-reflection in the mirror. And I'm not sure George Pickens has ever done that. I can tell you that Justin Fields did that in that soundbite. And I appreciate that. That's maturity. And that's what leaders do. Real quick, speaking of guys who could be on the move but won't be on the move, who knows, maybe D'Angelo Malone in the seventh, because I can tell you what.
No, he's untouchable.
He's not. Max Crosby is not. It doesn't want to go through what it sounds like Vegas is about to go through.
I'm not here to rebuild. I'm here to win. So, you know, I don't know whatever that means. But, yeah, I'm here to win now. And wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to be here to win. So that's all that matters to me.
How long do you think the leash is on Antonio Pierce?
I think it depends on how sloppy this season gets. Because if he loses the locker room, let me ask you a question. If he loses the locker room, you're going to change quarterbacks next year probably no matter what. Why keep him?
Well, and that's my thing. That's why I would be on the phone trying to get Justin Fields as part of my team.
It just seems like the only thing that makes sense about the Raiders, in fact, they don't make any sense under Mark Davis.
Well, Tom Brady's there. I just paper cut myself.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's there now, so maybe he's gonna. Maybe he's gonna have a say.
Don't forget Richard Seymour; he's there too. So,
do you like Richard Seymour? Did you ever play against him?
Watching him, yeah,
he's a beast.
Oh, we played Evelyn. But I'll never forget him trash talking Matt Bryant before a game winning field goal one time. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Matt Bryant's answer after he hit the field goal was hilarious too. I can't put it in the microphone, but it was pretty.
Can you clean it up?
It was a shut your mouth kind of comment. Yeah. There's your cleanup.
And then
hey, man, ain't no way you're going to hit this field goal. And it was obviously expletive laden as well. Then Matt Bryant drills it from like 50-something out and basically told him to shut up. So it was good.
And then he kind of walked oddly off the field.
Probably gave it the old fist pump, you know.
Matt Bryant.
That little short arm fist pump.
Dude. Where his elbow's attached to his side.
Good dude. Clutch player. Different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the which is the way he walked. Because he'd walk out there and you're like, there's no way this guy's athletic enough to kick a 55-yard game winner. And then, boom, right through the uprights.
Kind of walked like a stormtrooper with hemorrhoids. All right. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get to packing.
I'm sorry, what?
Steakhouse coming up top of the
hour. Got a lot of better aim than a stormtrooper.